Krishna, 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 Krishna. This last day of the retreat is designed to serve a specific need of someone who goes into a retreat. And the need is to take the retreat home. The discoveries, the realizations, the sacred space in which you were able to do your sadhana is a gift of the Holy Dham, specifically to those who intensify their bhajan. And you have done this. You have intensified your spiritual practice by focusing entirely on it, or as much as possible, next to doing the other necessary things. So now we need to complete the retreat for us in two ways. First way is we need, as the facilitators, we will give our best to answer any remaining questions which are in your mind, and which have either made it to the basket or are still in the mind. We will also be available for individual questions after the retreat is over, but most probably most of you will have to go by bus to Vrindavan. But the other way to complete the retreat is, and we will talk about this at the morning session, the late morning session after breakfast. The other part of taking the retreat home is something which you need to do. I want to tell you about something very wise which Burijan Prabhu advised me yesterday. I think some of you have heard, both of us went on a japa retreat, or we could say we had a Kartik Vrata in Jagannath Puri, where each one had really very deep realizations which were in a way almost stunning. And we also somewhere they confronted us with what we old men have to do on the to go further in our lives. And then I said to Burijan, so what is your sacred advice? What should we do? And he said, you need time to digest this, to think it over on your own, and then place the realization appropriately into your life. Some time is required. So when you return from the retreat, obviously the great wave of life will catch up with you. In Vrindavan you will have to do the million little things, purchases maybe, before you return to your places where you live and serve. There will be a million of things just coming over you like a wave of the ocean just pours over the person. However, don't forget to take time, maybe regular time, to mentally go on reset and bring your mind at attention to what the retreat has given you, what realizations it has supplied to you, and then think of how to appropriately place them into your life so that this retreat will serve your spiritual life for a long time to come with new vigor, new vitality, no convictions. Maybe you will also have to change a few things where you are at your place and align your life or orient your life in such a way, or organize your life in such a way that you can live up to these realizations. Okay, that's the second part. That's something you can, must do alone for yourself, each one for yourself. You might, of course, discuss things with trusted friends and guides and advisors. But now we come to the first part, answering the remaining questions. And I would request Burijan Prabhu to start by pulling a question. Devala Rishi, please place the microphone in front of him. And we will try to be as concise. We will try to be as concise as possible so that we have really time to answer all the questions.
Hi. Here's the question. There are many approaches to Krishna consciousness. One can come to Krishna and stay due to the calamities and harassments of material nature, and one can come to Krishna due to attraction to him. Which approach is higher, or which approach should we preach? So, which approach is higher? Obviously, love for Krishna, attachment and attraction to Krishna is higher, obviously. And which approach should we preach? We should, first, which approach should we practice? And that's always the key to what approach we should preach, is that somehow or another, whether it's out of distress, whether it's out of attraction, or whether it's out of anger or envy, we should absorb our mind in Krishna. This is the basic teaching of practically advanced Krishna consciousness, that somehow or another we have to absorb our mind, our consciousness in Krishna. So whatever, according to our fate, the material world throws at us, we should turn to Krishna. This is, practically speaking, the essence of advice. And as we were speaking of yesterday, this is the great turning that the soul has to do. Because now we've turned away from Krishna very, very consciously. We have turned our back on Krishna. And as Srila Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha, the process of sadhana bhakti, its purpose is specifically that we turn towards Krishna in every circumstance. And again, Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritina Arjuna. It takes a Sukritina, a pious person, to turn to Krishna. Arta Gigyasa Arta Ti Gyanita Bharata Sapa. There's even a gradation in that Bhagavad Gita verse where the person who turns with knowledge to Krishna is considered higher than the person who's curious, and the person in distress, and the person who wanting wealth. But the point is, somehow or another, in all circumstances, all deepening circumstances, we should turn to Krishna. And why it is better to turn to Krishna in attachment than in distress is because if we're in distress and we turn to Krishna, then what happens when the distress goes away? We turn away from Krishna. Because the distress is the cause of our turning to Krishna. But when we're attached to Krishna and attracted to Krishna and we turn to him, we will always stay turned to him. So we want to develop our attraction and attachment to Krishna. And from the preaching point of view, we should tell people whatever their circumstance is, they should turn to Krishna. Anyway, that was my simple answer to that. Did you want to add anything?
Other questions are there. Oh. There are two questions on this piece of paper, and I had number two, so I will start here. Let me just ask Prashanta, until when are we going? It's now 8:10.
According to schedule, it's 8:30.
8:30, okay. Chanting japa, especially more than 16 rounds, is done at the cost of preaching service. So how to not feel guilty and realize that japa is valuable service? Are we meant to retire from active service to chant? What about new devotees who may have not had the experience of book distribution, Harinam, street sankirtan? Could it be that they are prematurely sitting down, especially in Vrindavan, to chant? In this question, a lot of answers have been subtly suggested, so I will not repeat these correct suggestions which are in the question, but I will give another perspective. What is the relationship, I will talk about this, between japa or increased bhajan and preaching? I feel this is a very, very, very important question which is here. You will see in preaching that you can only uplift the person in the degree in which you yourself are uplifted. Only what lives in you will start to live in the other person. Of course, in preaching there's something like repeating the message faithfully despite your lack of qualifications or qualifications. But if you can inform people like this, that's true. There is something like you know, the postman service of a preacher who just says, I'm very unqualified, but here, I have a package for you, Bhagavad Gita. It came, it's for you. And the person who receives, even from a neophyte, an unrealized preacher, such as the Bhagavad Gita, will definitely, by Krishna's, I would say by Prabhupada's mercy, it is the power of his words, and by Krishna's mercy, be able to arrive at the turning point, which is so important for us when we turn back to Krishna. My dear preacher, shouldn't you try to become a better postman as your service to Guru and Krishna? Shouldn't you try to bring your service to a higher level? And shouldn't you be able to walk your talk at one stage, so that you are more trustworthy in the eyes of others? Isn't it that all spirituality will ultimately be tested by the person who's presented with the spirituality? By one question, the test of the person: are you doing what you preach? Does it work in your life? When a person comes to you who looks very ill and diseased, and you can see it and he says, I want to sell you a medicine. It's really good. It really works. It really is powerful. We have this pyramid selling idea. There is a producer at the top, and we all run. You will ask him, well, do you apply this medicine? Yes, 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 it's really good. And then you say, but why do you look so sick? heaven's God. No? So when a preacher comes to someone with a message, the question will be, are you applying it? So on retreats, we don't suggest that from now on everyone should chant every day 64 rounds. That's not the message of the 64 rounds day. That's not the message of the retreat. The retreat is designed for devotees who feel in their life that they want to close the gap between them and Krishna consciousness, or them and Krishna, by a deep spiritual practice. It's something like, you could say, something like a treatment, a retreat, which cures you by curing the gap which is there between what you believe in and what you experience. Huh? It should bring you a retreat, should help you to close this gap of your belief or the theory in your life and the practical experience. And once you have done this work, once you have even a little bit more experience, you will see how your preaching will profit. Retreats are done, we offer this once a year. We don't offer it every day of the year, this retreat. It's an investment of 5 days for you, and then to discover your treasures and bring it to active devotional service. After this 1 month, I can tell you, of staying in Jagannath Puri, which is a luxury which I take out of my life. I don't think everyone should do this or so, but I'm now approaching the winter of my life, the autumn of my life, old age in other words. So I need to take a little investment and be honest where I am and do a little to cultivate Krishna consciousness. But after this 1 month, I will tell you the experience is, when can I preach? And we think, we feel so fortunate. Wow, now we can actually serve people. I said this to my assistant, that I'm so fired up now. I just want to preach. And you see, I always go overtime because I'm so enthusiastic. It's not because I'm impolite. It's, that is also one of the many disqualifications. But it's really the desire to share Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. A little bit, I have seen that. So we will now go to Burijan Prabhu. The next question, you may pull it already while Devala changes the microphone.
Thank you so much for the wonderful retreat. Thank you as to all the facilitators and organizers. Here's my question. How did Srila Prabhupada do it with chanting 64 rounds before he came to the West as a grihastha and in preparation for the movement and in the West? As I understand the question, it's, did Prabhupada chant 64 rounds? At least that's part of it. As a grihastha, and when he came to the West, as far as I know, Prabhupada didn't, but I'm not a before. As far as I know, but it's just one of those things that Prabhupada said. That Prabhupada said while he was working, he chanted 4 rounds before breakfast, 4 rounds after, and he chanted 16 rounds in that way. And every day Prabhupada chanted his rounds, and at least 16 rounds. But I don't think he chanted 64 rounds, as far as I know. Nor did he insist that we chant 64 rounds. Prabhupada also, it is said, everyone in New Vrindavan, I asked Radhanath Maharaj about this too, that knew that Prabhupada had told Kirtananda Maharaj that he had said that 80% of his advancement came from japa. Did you ever hear that? And it was also said that Prabhupada would chant, when he was at Radha Damodar, he would chant early, very, very early in the morning to Srila Rupa Goswami. And he actually appears to have had darshan of Srila Rupa Goswami at Radha Damodar as he was chanting and praying for the ability to do the service. That is confirmed in a few other ways. But I like the best part about this question. I like, how did Srila Prabhupada do it? How did he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Which, bringing it to, like when we were in Jagannath Puri, we were speaking with one Bengali devotee, disciple of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, and he said, We have taken everything, he's a brahmachari, and this is our culture. But the fact that you have done it and changed your culture is, to me, it is so amazing. He said, for me, the way of living, the way of doing things, the way of eating, the way of sleeping, the way of chanting, the way of dressing, the way of the hair, it's all natural and simple. But for you, I know it must be difficult. And then he said, I am so proud of you all. That's what he said. So how did Prabhupada do it? Cause us to change. Even his potency, we as servants of Prabhupada are just doing whatever little preaching that we do as his servant, trying to assist him in his great desire to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. But how did Prabhupada do it, get so many people to make such radical shifts in their life? And from my experience with Srila Prabhupada, he did it by the depth of his own Krishna consciousness, because he carried Sri Vrindavan Dham with him. And when you sat with Prabhupada, there was such a sweetness, and that sweetness is the sweetness of Braja. That was the perception that you had with Prabhupada. You didn't know what it was exactly, but there was such a deep sweetness that one wanted to continuously taste that, and one wanted to get that for oneself, because it was clear that he had it. And I think that's how Prabhupada did it. He did it as a servant, but he did it by carrying C.C. Radha and Krishna in his heart, and Sri Vrindavan Dham in his heart, and Sri Dham Mayapur in his heart, wherever he went. And people became so attracted to that. And then he told them the methodology of how they too can have that. And the methodology was basically chant Hare Krishna. So the point that Maharaj made, I feel very strongly about it, especially after chanting Hare Krishna for 40 years. At some point in your life, you re-examine your life. And you think, well, when I started chanting Hare Krishna, and I remember one time when at 26 Second Avenue, and when Prabhupada first formed the GBC, one devotee came down, Rupanuga Prabhu, who I was close with, and he was on the GBC, and he said that Prabhupada wanted this to manage the society after his departure. So, and Prabhupada was already 70 years old, more than 70 years old, 72 years old at that time. This was in 1968. So I said, in my sort of an innocent way, I hope, you know, there's some pure devotees amongst that group when Prabhupada, by the time Prabhupada departs. And he replied very confidently to me. He said, everyone will be pure devotees by that time. But now, after chanting 40 years, it seems like, in many ways, from person, I feel like I've gone backwards, and I hold up the mirror of the hope that I had when I first started chanting Hare Krishna, and then compare that to the actual result that I feel, and therefore I want to go to Jagannath Puri and chant a lot of rounds, because I feel that I haven't made the proper type of advancement during this time. My life is could end at any time, practically speaking. And do I love Krishna? Do I have actually attachment and attraction for Krishna? And at some point in our lives, we will ask ourselves that question. You know, how have I done? Is the fault in the process? In that, does chanting Hare Krishna not work? Or is the fault in me and what I've done and how I've applied the process? So I've asked that question to myself, and I can assure whoever asked that question that if you become a pure lover of Krishna, it's not going to get in the way of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. But yes, how did Prabhupada do it? His secret was open. He was a pure servant of his Guru Maharaj, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of Radha and Krishna. And he carried Sri Vrindavan Dham and Radha and Krishna always, always with him in his heart. Okay.
I feel so much the need to speak on this. I must lovingly correct one statement of Puri Jan Prabhu. He said, I'm chanting 40 years. I'm taking the medicine for 40 years, but it didn't work so far. Puri Jan Prabhu, it worked miracles. We feel there is a subjective statement of a Vaishnava. He says, I'm fallen. And
very fallen.
He
most
says,
fallen.
Most fallen.
Well, second most fallen.
Second most fallen. And then there is an objective analysis, which I have done with my German mind over many years. And Burijan is known as being deep to the extreme. So objectively it is, so subjectively what you say is right, but objectively the medicine worked. We are very satisfied with the results. Buridam Prabhuji ki! I have to say this, you know, to save the Japa retreat. No, but I also feel as a sincere friend. I'm joking. So, Krishna, please pick me up. I didn't look. That's very nice. Please pick me up. All right, your desire was fulfilled, whoever you are. Dear teachers, please tell me, how can I become selfless instead of always looking for my self-interest? What a wonderful question. Let us hear it again. Please tell me how I can become selfless instead of always looking for my own self-interest. I would like to give you 3 points how you can become selfless. It's a difficult task which lies ahead of you, but it is the task. It's really absolutely important if you want to become an purified devotee of Lord Krishna. My first answer, or first point, is for those of us like those of us who are really interested in going into this school. You must act as if you are selfless. What does this mean in practical terms? You must do something for the benefit of others, even if you don't think like this, that I would benefit others. Let me give you an example. Going on Harinam is supposed to serve the conditioned souls. But you may go on to Harinam and think, oh, these people, I can't see them any longer. But still, you should go on Harinam and act as if you want to do something for the upliftment of others. You must start with activities to become purified. If you want to purify yourself, you have to start with activities. Then you go to your words. The next, this is called the outside-in approach. Huh? You start with your body to act. Then with your words, you are actually saying things which are beneficial for others. Even at that time, you may think, oh, I'm preaching, but this is really a mental martyrdom. I hope it's soon over, this preaching session. Mm-mm. But with your, at least with your words, you speak very, very beneficial. No? Then if you do these, act beneficial for others, speak beneficial for others, you can be assured that after some time of doing this, some genuine feeling of compassion arises in your heart. Then you can also act really from your heart. But it's not so easy to let me say, become selfless. Because what you will need to do is catch the ego. Oh, he is a tiger, well trained in the art of deception. He will evade you, avoid you here, hide here. So it's not so difficult to find the false ego in daily life and then to challenge it and fight with this and then win it, you know. Oh. So you must have a hunting plan for the false ego, you know, just like I understood the tiger from, no, the leopard of Rudra Prayag. Do you know about this monster leopard? This monster leopard had killed...
Might be a leopard.
What?
It might be a leopard.
The leopard, yes. Oh, yeah. A leopard. Yeah, not leopard is something is Deutsch, else. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's Deutsch. The leper of Rudra Prayag. Ooh, how is it called?
Leopard.
Leopard of Rudra Prayag had killed 300 people. No one could get him. He was just so absolutely clever and had devilish intelligence. He knew how to hide, he knew how to strike, everything. Mm-mm. So they had to fly in one British hunter whose name starts with C. I forgot the rest of the name, and it's not so glorious also to remember. And he had to observe the leopard first for 2 weeks to see out to seek out his pattern, how he would strike and kill, and then he knew. He made a strategy and he got the leopard and shot him. It's one of the big stories of hunting success in the world. Yeah? But if you want to hunt down the ego, the seed of selfishness, good luck, you are setting out for a mighty task. And therefore, the plan is act as if you are selfless. Speak as if you are selfless, sometimes, as much as possible, and finally the ego will be starved. There are no selfish acts, no selfish words, it doesn't get food any longer. See, there's only one thing, how you can get the ego, you have to starve it. You cannot give the ego any more food. That's how you get him. And therefore you must act properly and speak properly, and then finally it will go out of the heart. You must starve it. You cannot give it any longer food. And you must, obviously, this is the second thing, I said there's only one thing, you must sweep your heart with spiritual vibration. Krishna, and how we are servants of Krishna. Once you bring these subjects into your heart, Krishna, Krishna's glories, and how you serve, the atmosphere is not conducive for the ego. And it says, well, it sits and listens to this, and then after some time something happens. Yesterday I asked one devotee, how is it going for you? And the devotee said to me, well, my mind has already said, no, 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 4 hours ago, but I'm still chanting. I thought, very good, if you chant for a longer time, there will be a time, at least time periods. Well, I was thinking this, I didn't say it. I was thinking there will be time periods where your mind and your ego becomes changed, spiritualized. So, Gaurahari, I could read the... I said who wrote it, but I know this handwriting so well. So whoever asked this question, two treatments. The indirect hunting plan is body, words, and then the mind will follow at one stage. And this, why will it follow the mind? Well, because if you, and this is the positive hunting, the positive activity, if you do a lot of Krishna Katha, Kirtan, Bhajan, everything, your mind will be, and ego will be spiritualized. And you will finally arise from the slumber and say, and have this transformation of, I am the body to I am yours. Radha and Krishna. This is a wonderful transformation. And according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this is the aim of Krishna consciousness, to change the identity from a selfish egoist to a selfless lover. So we have now 6 minutes. We are over time. I suggest that what we do is Prashanta still here? She may already arrange everything. It would be nice to know if the prasadam is really ready. Does anyone know of you? Any sister? Sorry? Ready? It's offered. That means it's ready to be served. I suggest then that we take a light prasadam. Guruji Prabhu and myself will just talk what to do with the remaining questions after prasadam, because we really won't need to be now on time and then keep to the schedule. It's not like yesterday where we have really the open day. Today is the beginning of Japa retreat part 2. It's called returning and bringing the retreat home to your life. Time is there when the buses go. So kindly take your prasadam, and we will go immediately into the next phase in half an hour. That's 9:10. We will continue. Please be on time so that we can complete the retreat timely.
Is it 9:30 that we begin, or?
No, 9:10, huh? After half an hour. It's really a light breakfast only, and then continue. And then is free time afterwards. That's on the plan. Srila Prabhupada ki! Half an hour. Please be focused. Be concentrated.